Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
It is Bloomberg Markets. I'm Corey Johnson. She's Carol Masser. Yes, Carol?
No, nothing.
Do you golf? You do golf.
No, but I grew up in a golf family. No, I don't. It's the one thing I had learned from my dad, because he was a pretty good golfer. And so are my four brothers.
We're going to look at this use of artificial intelligence in golf. And I think it's useful for all kinds of businesses when you start to look at these exact applications of this emerging technology. When we think about the ways it's going to change every business, yes, including golf.
Everything can be changed by AI. First up, though, let's get a check on your top business story. Some of the news flow after the closing bell. Here is, once again, Adrienne Mitchell.
Thanks, Carol. U.S. stocks fell the most since the election of President Trump. The Dow lost 237 points, more than 1% to close at 2668. The NASDAQ down 107 at 5793. And the S&P 500 down 29 points, 1.25% to 2344. As Wall Street grew concerned that the president's policies may not sail through Congress following his meeting on his plan to replace Obamacare with lawmakers. We check the markets every 15 minutes on Bloomberg Radio. The 10-year Treasury up 12/32 with a yield of 2.41%, the 2-year yield 1.25%. NYMEX crude settling at $47.34 a barrel, down 88 cents or almost 2%. COMEX gold finishing the day right around $12.45 an ounce. The euro is at 108, the yen at 111.76. Soup and burritos were on Wall Street's plate. Investors cooled on Campbell's Soup after a Bernstein analyst downgraded the stock to underperform. Alexia Howard says the downturn in sales reflects consumers' preference for fresher foods. And sales of Chipotle Mexican Grill rose nearly 3% after data analysis firm M-Science predicted first quarter sales will easily beat Wall Street's estimates. And Nike's third quarter report just after the closing bell came in well ahead of estimates. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Carolyn Corey.
All right, Adrienne, thank you very much. And we do have some headlines crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Valiant completing its refinancing, extending its term loan maturity. So just some news, if you will, having to do with some of the financing over at Valiant. We'll have more on that a little bit later on Bloomberg Radio. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets, and this is Bloomberg.
Swing Town. I think all of our swings could use a little bit of work. Sal Say joins us right now. Arcos Golf is the company that he runs. New deal with Microsoft to look at artificial intelligence. What is Arcos Golf, Sal?
So Arcos Golf is a hardware and software platform that allows golfers to capture all of their data and then use machine learning and AI insights to help them get better.
So how does it work?
It works
well. And where do you have to go to use it?
So you can buy your product at Apple stores or Dick's Sporting Goods. It's a set of 14 sensors. They get inserted. They're very small, tiny, no impact on your swing. They get inserted into the grip end of each club. There's a one-time pairing process with your smartphone. After that, you basically don't have to do anything. They do all the work for you to detect where you take each shot, and then they take all that data and give you insights.
Very cool.
And the data is gathered how?
The data is gathered. The sensors are detecting the impact when you make it with a golf ball. And they're able to eliminate every other impact you have and isolate only the shots that you're taking. And they're recording the GPS location of every shot you take. So we figure out where your shot ended up because that's where you take your next shot from. And we're doing all that automatically.
You can order it online. You can go to a retailer. It's about $250, correct?
That's right, $250.
Interesting. People who use it, what kind of feedback do you get? And I'm assuming you guys did a bunch of research as well, but what kind of feedback do you get in terms of how it impacts a golfer's swing?
So I would say we actually look at the data. We know exactly what it's doing. Average user improves by 3.52 shots. And that pace of improvement is about 30 times faster than the average golfer out there. So what we're doing is accelerating the improvement by directing the golfer to focus on the areas that they really need to work on. And we're going to take it to the next level with a partnership with Microsoft.
So if you're hitting a 75, you're now hitting maybe a 71 or a 72?
So if you're basically club selection.
Or in my case, it would be the first four holes, but yeah, please continue.
I wasn't going to.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
There. Hitting 100, now you're hitting 97?
The higher you score,
don't even joke.
The more we can help.
Really?
Yeah.
So you
Because there's more
so the
lower-hanging fruit.
The worse that you are in terms of playing or your swing is.
The more the data will help. It's amazing.
How is this? I mean, you would think the worst golfers could get the most help. It's pretty hard to get from a 65 to a 63. Or as I mentioned, even on the first four holes. But with this, with your work here, talk to me about what of this technology is new that wasn't possible before, and why is it possible now?
So, are you talking about our partnership with Microsoft?
Yeah, the AI, the actual math that's happening here.
Totally. So, I mean, previously, every year there's 800 million rounds played of golf, and the data has gone unrecorded. What we've done over the past year and a half is we've recorded, I think it's close to 600,000 rounds of data, so it's 70 million shots worth of data. And now we've partnered with Microsoft to go deep into that data so we can bring out insights. So what we're building through AI and machine learning, it sounds really complicated, but in reality, what we're building is the world's smartest caddy. Today, golfers have a cognitive bias. They make decisions by overestimating their performance. What we're able to do is actually bring reality to the game, and it actually helps you improve. So we're going to be able to tell you with the world's smartest caddy, hey, over here, you should hit a 6-iron. Not a 5-iron.
So in real time, so when they're out playing,
that's right.
As they're playing, are they getting advice?
Exactly. So as they're playing, we're taking all the data that you have, all the other users have, all the course geometry data, all the weather data, elevation data, all of that, and it's giving you advice on what club to use in any given situation.
So Sal, at $250 a pop, how many have you sold?
We don't disclose how many you've sold, but I will say this.
It's just for me and Corey. That's all.
Maybe when we're having a beer later. But we are on a really hot trajectory right now.
That's right, on the 19th hole.
Yeah, on the 19th hole. And we actually have a partnership with Cobra where we're embedding Arco sensors in all their drivers and all their clubs. So it's going to be very exciting. I think the future of golf looks very bright in terms of technology. I predict in 2020, every club's going to come connected with sensors.
Is it bringing millennials in, though, to play? Like, I grew up with a dad, and he and his brothers, they played golf. That was the generation. So my four brothers, it was just kind of a rite of passage, if you will, and they learned how to play golf, and, you know, they have continued playing.
And the USGA statistics show us a slowdown, right? I mean, it's not just, I mean, because we went over this earlier, that maybe since Tiger's receded, that we've seen a slowdown in millennial participation, younger participation in golf.
Yeah, I think you're right that there's a slowdown on the younger participation in golf. And I think Arcos is exactly the technology that can reverse it. Is it, though?
Because that's your future consumer, right?
Yeah.
It's great if you're getting, you know, the baby boomers and so on and so forth. But are you pulling in a younger consumer?
We are, absolutely. And it's, I mean, when we do demo days, it's amazing. Like, millennials and even the entire younger generation, it's like second nature to them having technology at the mobile platform as an extension of their life. And on the golf course, it's been missing so far. And what we've done is brought it right on the golf course, like literally second nature. Once younger people play with it, they can't play without it. They literally won't go.
5 seconds, can you take these sensors and put them elsewhere?
Possibly.
He's hedging. We got to go have that beer, Corey, apparently, on that 19th hole.
I'm all in on the 19th hole.
Sal Sayed over at Arcos, CEO and co-founder. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It is time for a check on your world and national news headlines. Let's bring in once again Nathan Hager in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Carol. Thanks. He came to Capitol Hill to close the deal on health care. That is what House Speaker Paul Ryan is saying about President Donald Trump.
The president just came here and knocked the ball out of the park. He knocked the cover off the ball and explain to our members how it's important to unify.
Now, Republican members who are at this closed-door meeting says the president told them they risk losing their seats in the midterms if they don't pass the GOP replacement. A vote on the House floor is set for Thursday, but even if it does pass there, it still may not have enough support at this point in the Senate. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch is trying not to show which way he would lean on crucial cases should he be confirmed.
If it looks like I'm giving hints or previews or intimations about how I might rule, I think that's the beginning of the end of the independent judiciary.
Though he did tell the Senate Judiciary Committee in one case, Roe v. Wade, he would have walked away if President Trump had asked him to overturn it. The UK is banning electronic devices larger than a smartphone from carry-on bags in flights from 6 Middle Eastern countries. This follows a similar U.S. ban that affects some flights from 8 nations, White House spokesman Sean Spicer.
Even ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, who we've not always shared the same point of view with, even agreed by saying, quote, these steps are both necessary and proportional to the threat.
Though the order could have some business travelers reconsidering their flight plans through the Middle East, many of them use larger devices in the cabin. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.